Happy birthday, Paisan. 200 over there.
Over there.
Don't shut
up. Like a day of 190.
Exactly. Well, guys, we want to thank you all out there just starting the show.
Right off the bat.
Numero 200 for us.
Your language is impeccable.
Get a little Spanish over here.
You got a real command of the English language, or whatever that was you were saying.
Exactly.
Esperanto?
Yeah, it's kind of like an Italian-Spanish thing. Well, they're both Latin, right? As far as language goes, right?
I suppose so. Yeah.
A little bit.
Italian and Spanish.
A little crossover.
A bit.
But we want to thank everybody. We're on number 200. And, man, we've come a long way in 9 years, huh?
It's a special show.
Are we now, 9 or 10?
We're actually, we just turned
we just
9
had a birthday, yeah.
On Labor Day. So we're almost there. What I want to say...
Would that be in dog years?
63, yeah.
Oh, just kind of like an Eddie Trunk thing. Nice.
I know. What would it be in Eddie Trunk's episodes? That would be podcast number 1,300.
We've been doing this for 63 years in dog years.
Like, I believe it.
Yeah, thank God he's not here. We're actually out and about, so.
Yeah, we're at the famous Hay Merchant in Houston, Texas.
We're on the road.
Again.
Live. You know, a lot of people have joined us today.
Yeah?
Yeah. The place is packed. You can probably hear the chatter in the background, but... cars going by. We're actually outside at the Merchant and having a couple cool
sitting
ones
on the lovely terrace patio.
Yeah,
which is unique because in Houston, oh, that breeze is nice.
That's
in Houston,
nice, eh?
You get this breeze, this kind of a nice day. You get it once about every, I mean, you get it like actually, I'd say maybe a week out of the entire year, you get this many days of nice weather.
True.
So you got to catch them when you can. We got lucky.
Take advantage when you can, sir.
You got to take me to the river one more time.
I can
or is
do
it
that.
The limit? Take me to the limit. That's the Eagles.
Take me to the... That's the Eagles, right?
I'm thinking, take me to the river, drop me in the water. That's Talking Heads. So I get those songs confused all the time for some reason.
I don't know that one.
Take me to the river, drop me in the water.
That
song?
Yeah. I never was a big Talking Heads guy, were you? Yeah, that was cute.
I dig... I like some of their shit. The one that had Burning Down the House, that album's badass. I like that one.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Stop Making Sense, or was that something? I don't remember. But it was a good album.
I actually had dinner with a guy last night, and we were going to Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bringing up Dire Straits and what a bit Dire Straits fan he was. And
I
he
love
was,
Dire Straits. Yeah.
The only song I can really think of is The Walk of Life, mainly because of Safe Man.
That whole album was good. What is that one called? Fuck, I can't remember anything right now. I'm all
but Martin Knopfler's supposed to be a fucking awesome guitar player, right? Knopfler,
yeah, I've seen a couple of videos of him talking about his technique and the little claw hammer technique he developed and all this other kind of shit. And he's also a real big acoustic player.
Really?
Yeah, he's played with Chet Atkins a lot and stuff. He's a big fan of his. I think that was one of his inspirations growing up. And he finally got to play with the legend, and he was all excited. And they did, like, a concert or something.
Oh, wow.
There was, like, a concert video, I think, of them, or they maybe did an album or two.
Mm-hmm.
So he's big into not just electric, but he plays, folky acoustic shit as well. Actually, more like what do you call, not bluegrass, but kind of country-ish kind of stuff, chicken picking type stuff.
Yeah, Jason was talking about a song called Juliet. I guess it's like about Romeo and Juliet or something that they do, and
I think there's a
song.
I can't remember the name of that, but there's one. I think the oldest Dire Straits I know is maybe Roller Girl, which I think became before Sultans of Swing. I don't remember.
Right.
Obviously, everyone knows
Sultans of Swing. I know that song,
that's
too.
A killer fucking song to this day.
But I always think of Walk Alive just because Safe Man.
I just remember the only other video, I mean, before all the that album came out and everything on it was getting made into a video, like Money for Nothing and all that.
Money for Nothing. Yeah, I guess I know more than I think.
Yeah. The Roller Girl video used to play every now and then on
I don't remember that.
MTV. Oh, it looks old as fuck. You look just go like, how old is this fucking
video? A lot of those videos, I was thinking about that the other day, just because I saw Van Halen, so I was kind of going to this little nostalgic thing. And
cool.
I was thinking of some of those old videos and looking at them now and how dated they are. And I was talking to the guy last night that we went to the show, because Genghis pissed out. But, I mean, I don't blame him. The fucking tickets were outrageous. But
you were telling me, dude. It sounded kind of crazy.
He was asking me, he said, you know, how many times have you seen Van Halen? I said, well, quite a few. My first time was back on Diver Down, which came out, I think, around 82, 83. And he said, shit, dude, that's like 35 years ago. I'm like, fuck, I'm old.
You're like, so what, tough guy?
He goes, how old? He goes, I was 12. I go, well, I was 15, tough guy.
I know. So I beat you, dude.
I'm not that fucking old.
That's the thing, dude. It's like, I hear, who was I thinking of? There's somebody, I was listening to podcasts and stuff, talking about, oh, this was big when I was growing up. And mostly talking about movies and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I was there for that movie. I mean, in fact, I was fucking in high school when that shit. They're talking about stuff where they were kids and first heard all this stuff, watched all these movies, and I was already like in high school, getting out of high school, and I'm just like, yeah, way ahead of you, kid. So I never know if I should feel too old or feel like I'm not that old, because I still kind of all the people that are now, you know, grown ups doing stuff who aren't like Robert De Niro old people. They're in their 30s, in other words, like my brother. And so I'm like, I'm not too far from that generation.
Right.
It's not like I'm a total old man, but you know, there is some show where you're like, you motherfuckers weren't there for the original Star Wars, okay? So y'all can get on.
Exactly. I remember my parents took us and we stood in line.
Fuck yeah.
I think right there.
Oh, yeah?
Alabama.
At the Tower Theater?
Yeah, yeah. And saw it there. Or not Alabama. I forget that. It was a tower, right?
I think that was
Tower,
yeah,
Tower Movie Theater.
Yeah, exactly. It's still there today. It's right across the street. It's
called
we
the
saw
Tex-Mex.
King's X there.
El Riala.
I bet they're good.
But Riala.
We saw King's X there, and didn't they open for Dream Theater? Is that who
it was? Yeah, that was fucking
awesome,
dude.
That was a killer fucking show.
Well, talking about Van Halen, I'm going to play a song real quick, because this song, last night, I got to say, review of the show.
Uh-huh.
Barry, I was so much more impressed than when I saw him on the reunion tour about 6-8 years ago. The band was really on. I mean, Eddie was playing better than he played 6-8 years ago when I saw him.
Nice.
Dave was good, but little too much ad-libbing, but you kind of expect that from Dave.
I think that's what he does now, to cover up any gaps that he leaves from forgetting lyrics or mugging for chicks or doing whatever.
But when I saw him on the reunion tour, he was different. He was like all business. He was spot on.
But that was when they first got back, right? So he was like, I don't want to fuck this up.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to screw
fired.
This up. Exactly.
Finally got him to take me on tour, and I don't want to blow it.
Well, my favorite song that they played last night, and it's always been kind of a favorite song off the 1984 record, was Drop Dead Lights.
Oh, I love that fucking song.
Why don't we play that?
Hell yeah.
So, back to, I mean, we started saying stuff about our show, and then we went on tangent, so let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, can you remember the very first show? I still do.
Very first?
Our first show.
I honestly don't. I know, obviously, Ron Keel was on it.
Right, but do you remember recording it?
Oh, not at all, dude. I remember it was back in the old studios before that we had the campus built.
Right.
It was a much smaller studio.
The campus was under construction at that point. We had just gotten financing.
But we, I mean, that was the place where we recorded interviews with Alex Skolnick, right? And Billy Sheehan.
Yeah,
we had some really good ones.
The funniest thing about that Sheehan interview was we had this digital recorder. And when we decided to do this, I actually, I'll give credit where credit is due. A couple things that got me on this. I was really enjoying Eddie Trunk, and I was listening to Eddie Trunk on KNAC
back
on the internet.
Was fun to listen to,
because I couldn't get, of course I couldn't. There was before satellite radio. So I was listening to that, and then I got hooked on to the Talking Metal podcast. And I started listening to that.
I remember you talked about it a lot in the beginning when you said, let's do a podcast, and you mentioned Talking Metal as sort of the model.
Right.
Like, listen to these guys, this is what they do, I want to do this. And in fact, didn't we do an interview with Talking Metal guys?
Yeah, we talked to John and Mark. Actually, Mark Striegel. I got props to him, and thank you, Mark. You were very helpful in giving me tips on how to start a podcast.
Wow.
Because I went to Genghis and I said, listen to these guys, they're good. Why don't we just do something a little bit different? Let's add a little bit of comedy into it, and let's talk metal. Let's just do what we do normally and record it.
Right.
And that's what we've done. It's basically what you hear is what Genghis and I do when we just hang out.
Yeah.
We eat burgers, drink beer, and talk metal.
Right. And all the gang that shows up, I mean, if I don't want to get too inside baseball, but a lot of what it is we were inspired by shows like Stevenson Pruitt and all the Shock Jock type dudes, where they had guys like...
Eddie the Boner Sanchez.
Guys like that, where you have all these people involved. And we didn't want to be like, cuckoo, like the morning zoo. We mocked that shit. But the idea of more of a larger cast, where instead of just us, we got some other colorful characters that sort of contribute to the show.
Yes.
And so we brought all those guys on soon after. But
There have been some crazy motherfuckers on our show. Some that never came back. Grimace never came back. I think he's
been on tour. I heard.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. I heard he fills in for
Max Sabbath.
Max Sabbath. Yeah, fills in on bass, I think, once in a while.
That's right. He plays over there. We'll be seeing them soon.
Yeah, you're gonna go.
You're checking.
I might
out.
Need to give you some money to get me a shirt. That
I can do that.
It looks funny.
Do that. I gotta get me one for sure.
But back to the Sheehan thing real quick.
Yeah.
I kind of went on a tangent like what we do. But the funny thing about Sheehan, and we were really new in this, and I don't know if you guys know this, but technically the first interview we ever did was with Bruce Kulick.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, holy shit, we want to get Ron Keel. And Ron had expressed some interest that he would do it. And we actually got Ron like a week or two after.
Right.
And we put Ron first because the namesake and so forth. But back to Sheehan. So we had this little voice recorder, and we still use it from time to time, but we've gotten better with technology. Genghis has been awesome with that kind of stuff. But with Sheehan, it was so hilarious. We're recording the call, and I ran out of space, memory, on the digital recorder.
Oh, yeah.
So during the conversation, I saw it went off. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And I had to go back and delete stuff that we had previously recorded and already posted and stuff like that. So technically, when I mixed that show, I had 5 or 6 different files
kind of stitched
where I
together.
Had to splice together
and
make it make sense so the interview would still flow. Because he would be, he was actually, think about it, is one of the better interviews we've done.
Yeah.
Because he was so candid and so cool, you know, and gave us some great stories.
After Talas, I would have to say one of the two greatest musicians in the world, yourself included, you got together with Steve I.
Yeah.
And you're in the David Lee Roth band. How did that come about? I've always been curious.
Well, Dave called me and told me to come out to L.A. because he had a secret project he wanted to do. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I was in Talas. As a matter of fact, the first day of the Yngwie tour was our first day out here in summer of 85. And Dave invited me over to his house.
Uh-huh.
Now, oddly enough, when I got to town, I called Ed Van Halen to invite him out to the show. I had no idea there was any problem in Van. And so he said to me, and this is an honest-to-God true story. Ed, I'm going to play in town. He goes, really, for what? And I told him, he goes, I don't know if I can make it out. He goes, yeah, it's funny because Dave called me. He said something about he's making a movie and wants me to be in it. And I didn't realize that I was too dumb, but this was the cover story David made up to cover the fact that he was going to start a band. And so Ed freaked out. He said, what? You're kidding me. You're going to have a meeting with him tomorrow. Well, call me up as soon as you have the meeting, you know. So I said, sure, I'll give you a call. And so I went out and had the meeting with Dave, and he laid it on the line. He goes, I'm leaving the band. I want to start a band. I want to start a band with you. And I go, well, okay, great. So, of course, I've realized if I call Ed Van Halen, I'm going to blow it, so I better just not call him. So I didn't call him. We played in L.A. Dave came out to the show, and then the rumor started a little bit. And the original guitar player was going to be Steve Stevens.
Ow.
David contacted him and talked with him and stuff like that. And during the middle of the Yngwie tour, Dave called me and said, I don't know if the Steve Stevens thing is going to work out, you know, some business things and whatever. And I said, okay, well, and I go, well, I know another Steve. Prior to that, I'd spoken to Steve Vai about possibly doing, recording with him a little bit. And then when I got to L.A., Dave flew me out. I was sworn to secrecy. I couldn't say anything to anybody, why I was there, what I was doing, anything. And I knew that if I did break that bond, I'd be out anyway, so I kept my mouth shut. So I ran into Steve, and I said, Steve, I'm in the middle of something now. We're kind of up. There might be something you might be interested in. I can't talk to you about it, but, and he goes, well, I think I heard some rumors about it myself. So I got together with Dave and mentioned it to him, and Ted Templeman also brought it up as well. Ted, the producer, that Steve I was the hot new guy and really
cool. Yeah.
So sure enough, we called Steve and got him in the band.
Sweet.
And then Dave told Steve and I to go find a drummer. So we did open rehearsals. We had, about 100 or 150 drummers show up. Greg Bissonette came in, and we instantly knew he was the guy.
Yeah.
And then Yamaha we needed a keyboard player, so Yamaha contacted me, and one of their guys named Brett Tuggle is a really great singer and player. And Brett called me up and said, what do I need to do to pass the audition? I go, learn some Beatles songs, sing your ass off, and learn a bunch of stuff, learn some stuff from Dave's records. So he came in, learned the sax solo for Gigolo, you know, on the sampler, you know, sang his ass off, a bunch of Beatles song, you know, did I'm Down on the piano and stuff like that. And sure enough, he got the gig too. So from there, we went off to record Eat 'Em and Smile. And it was, the rest is written.
Those are always the better ones. When we've done a lot of interviews, and there have been some where they just don't really open up. It's all very kind of by the book, and I'm here to do this, and it's almost like they're reading a script. And that's fine. I know that for some people, they're just like, I'm not actually really good with strangers. I'm not really good at opening up to people and do that. It's a little easier when you're with me and we're doing an interview where I don't have to look the guy in the eye, because all these people are strangers to us when we meet them. But some of these people, I understand, maybe they're like that, and so it's not always the, I mean, obviously the lead singer you expect to be more gregarious and extroverted, but maybe it's, we'll get the guitarist or the bassist, and there maybe not, you know, like if we got John Mayung, that probably wouldn't be the most open-up interview.
Right.
But, and so we've tried to tailor our interviews to sort of bring people out a bit, but then there's the other people that I've noticed, you start off and they're a little closed, but as the interview goes on, they open up more and more, and they seem to kind of warm up to the thing. Those are the most rewarding, I think, interviews.
I think what it is once they realize you know what, you're just not another
schlub.
And you're
not being a dickhead,
and you're not going off a call sheet.
Right.
Asking questions.
Like you don't know anything. Like, I really just ran to Wikipedia before this, and I never heard of you before.
You pretty much got the questions from the promoter or PR.
Or something like that, Because that's part of, I think, why a lot of these guys are like, that's not fun at all. Like, a lot of talk shows are like that.
Yeah.
They're famous for, you know, if you're going to be on, like, Letterman or something. And I don't know if he did it, but it's an example where, like the production assistant for the show, will call the actor or actress and talk and say, what did you want to talk about? What if we talked about this? And sort of pre-screen them for interesting stories and anecdotes. And then when they get on there, the guy's just reading off a cue card and goes, you know, ask her about her wedding night, what went wrong, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure after a while that gets really tiresome.
Oh, I think so.
So that's why I've always tried to ask questions that I thought just... that I make up on my own, and even while we're talking to people, to be more sort of open about this. And that's because I'm trying to make it interesting for the person. If you're having a conversation with somebody and you're asking the same boring questions,
right,
you can read it in their face and know that, no, they're not into this. So I try to listen for that and try to ask questions that are maybe not the norm that they get asked. And at least I try to. I don't know if it comes out that way, but... I think that when we do that, they do seem to kind of realize, okay, this is like a real conversation with somebody, and not just, it doesn't have to be all just promotion.
I got to tell you, when an artist that we're interviewing tells us, wow, that's a great question.
Ready for a second beer?
I'm ready for that Black Maria.
Oh, shit, I better have one myself. That did sound good.
Can you go for it too?
For the Black Maria as well.
Okay.
That was really good.
Okay, and I'll put it in the wings too.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
But yeah, I love that when an artist says, wow, that's a great question. And I want to play some music real quick. Let's play something off the new Winery Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just do a DC.
Yeah.
And then I want to come back after that and talk a little bit about Richie Kotzen. We'll be right back. let's talk a little bit about Kotzen. And that was a guy that we talked to, and he actually told one of our fans, our listeners, wow. Yeah, our listener, I think it was Snake. Was it Snake?
Might have been.
Went up to saw Kotzen live and said, hey, I heard an interview with you on the RightToRock.com, the Genghis Ragman show.
Uh-huh.
And Kotzen told him, man, those guys knew their shit. They knew, asked me more questions that no one's ever asked me before, and I was so impressed by them.
That's badass.
Yeah, and I was
See, now I want to talk to him again, especially when his new album comes out.
You know, I got a little hard when he told me that.
I don't blame you.
Did you?
I'm a little hard right now. No, seriously, because I had forgotten that that's where that story came from. I remember you said that he had said that, but I thought it's like he had told you when we talked to him again, and I just didn't remember that or something.
No, we tried to hook up with him again. It was in the works, and it just never worked out. And
yeah, schedules often are really hard.
Yeah, it was before the Winery Dogs even got together. We tried to hook up with them again, especially after we heard that comment. I was like, fuck, we got to get them back on.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think I remember part of what made him say that is I remember when we interviewed him how he was a little impressed when I asked him about Chipe Flux, which I never know if I'm saying that right, but that's that song you did off that Guitars That Ruled the World or something album. That I guess to him, he thought that was an obscure thing that I did that, you know, I enjoyed, but I never thought anybody heard it. And I'm like, I fucking love that song, dude. Well, it's one of my favorite Kotzen songs.
I was going to give you credit where credit is due. You asked that question, and then I brought up something that probably, I don't know anybody's probably ever asked me either, was I said the difference between Dream of Due Day, the version on
when you noticed
Bogus
those
Journey,
different versions,
and then off the record, the studio album that was on.
I think there's, you know, plenty of technical guitar playing on the Mr. Big record, and I think there's good songs in the Poison record. So, you know, in retrospect, you know, I think I did what I needed to do. But I never really felt pressure because I figured, look, these guys picked me to be in the band, so obviously there's something that they hear in what I do that they think there's a future for their band. And that was the same logic I kind of took with Stanley Clarke because, you know, coming into that kind of a band, you know, Poison, Mr. Big, it's still rock, but that was a whole other thing and something that I didn't have that kind of experience with. And rather than get worked up over the fact that, you know, they were playing with Alan Holdsworth before me, I kind of took the notion of, all right, well, obviously there's something they hear in my playing that they think is going to contribute to the music, so there's a reason why I'm here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. You're very talented, man. That is for sure.
And speaking to that, I'm kind of a guitar geek, so most of my questions are kind of guitar related. And if I could ask you about a Metal Blade compilation that you played on 8 years ago that you did a song called, I don't know how to pronounce it, Chipe Flux? Or
that's so funny. That title, first of all, you know, that came from Jason Becker and I years before. We used to hang around, you know, late at night playing guitar and stuff, and and when we were done in the studio, I was actually staying with my cousin who lived in Marin County, so we'd have to drive, you know, from Wine Country where the studio was all the way down to Marin to drop me off, and I don't know, we used to play jokes on each other, and at one point, he's driving the car, and I just shouted the word chipe, like, really loud, and I'm not going to do it now, because it's really immature and silly, but being 19, you know, it kind of made sense, and I scared the hell out of him, and it became a thing, what we used to do to each other, we'd scream, you know, chipe, when the other guy would least expect it, and just kind of, you know, you just jump out of your skin, because it's all high-pitched. So, when I had the chance to have a song on that CD you're talking about, I had that instrumental, you know, something that never ended up on a record, and I just named it that because, you know, it just seems, the way the guitar lines were, it just seems so, you know, erratic, and just, I don't know, there wasn't a lot of logic behind it, it was just kind of some crazy song, you know, so that's kind of where the title came from.
Well, you know, as crazy as it is, I've always wanted to ask you, what are the chords in that chorus? Because it's just beautiful the way they meld together so nice.
Another example of a song that I wrote and recorded that I haven't listened to since I recorded it. I don't even know what it sounds like.
Hey, Richie, I've got to ask you something, according to your chipe story. You ever heard of snipe hunting?
No.
It's a joke back in college, and I hope we don't ruin it for our listeners, but there's what you do is you tell somebody you're going to go snipe hunting, and a snipe is supposed to be a little furry creature that just kind of lives in the dark. And what you do is you take a guy out in the field and said, okay, we're going to go hunting for snipe. You go this way, we're going to go the other way. You leave the guy out in the field.
I see.
So maybe you could write a song called Snipe.
That's right.
Snipe plugs.
Yeah, that'll be like the sequel.
There you go. I'm trying to help you, Richie.
Well, you know, a lot of guitarists have a kind of a private side of their playing. Like, I've heard that Mick Mars is a big blues guy, and he even sits in at local blues joints from time to time while he's touring.
Yeah.
Is there a kind of music that you enjoy playing that you don't really record? Like, are you a closet chicken picker or something like that?
No, you know, I think I've pretty much recorded everything that that I'm into. I mean, you know, I've done the hard rock thing, and you know, again, being in a band with Stanley Clarke, I've experienced the fusion, the jazz thing, and you know, my stuff, you know. My solo records have ranged from obviously the instrumental stuff to, you know, what I'm doing now. I think there's a blues record in there that I did for Mike Varney, where we covered a bunch of blues standards. So, you know, I got a lot out there. You know, I don't have any closet genres that I haven't, you know, unveiled.
Been pretty open about it. Well, is there ever, just out of curiosity, is there ever anything that you may listen to that you recorded previously from your entire catalog where you just thought, how the hell did I ever play that?
Yeah, most of the instrumental stuff, you know, and especially on the Intergalactic record, I mean, there's definitely stuff in there that I hear that you know, I don't want to sound like a real ass, but I mean, I definitely impressed
my there you go.
God, I'm impressed with that because, you know, if I had to sit down and play that song now, you know, I'd probably have to spend a month to get my chops back to where they were back then.
The thing is, I'm betting, this is not to, like, we're all badass,
yeah,
but I'm betting there's probably a lot of guys out in the world, a lot of music fans that notice things like that, too. They just don't get to talk to the guy.
Right.
And report to him. Yeah. So it's cool that, yeah, we get to talk to all these people. And and I don't think we've ever had a guest where they just weren't cool about the interview. It may be hard to, you know, to open up, but no one who was ever just hostile or anything.
No,
you know,
no,
they've
no.
always treated us like we're peers, like we're
right.
journalists, like we're actual real people.
Well, you know,
so I've always appreciated that. We've been lucky in that respect.
Something I took as a big compliment early on for us was Mark Striegel from Talking Metal. Bring him up again. Mark had sent me a note after our podcast posted with Kevin DeBro.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace. And we'll play a little Quiet Riot here in a minute.
For real.
Mark's like, dude, I love the interview, and I can't believe you asked him about the Paul Sortino record. He goes, dude, that was fucking ballsy.
What did you think of the record that they did with Paul Sortino? The group could have actually renamed itself for the project because the music was so much different.
That's what I thought they should have done. I agree with you.
And your signature vocals were, you know, definitely missed because it wasn't quite right anymore.
But my vocals would not have fit on that record.
No, not at all, because the music was so different.
We actually tried to do one of the songs about 6 years ago, I think called The Joker, and it was totally wrong for us. It was an okay record. You know, Frankie really likes it a lot. I really haven't listened to the whole thing. It really didn't interest me too much. It was kind of like Whitesnake Light. It really wasn't my cup of tea. I don't think Paul's a really good singer, but I think David Coverdale's a better singer. And, you know, it's like, go to the source if you want to get that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I remember I was actually... probably don't want to hear my nostalgia, but I was actually at Corpus Christi on the radio when I heard that. I was like, no fucking way DeBro left Quiet Riot. That's bullshit.
Yeah, but, you know, we weren't going to make another good album for a while anyway because the spark and magic had gone out of our relationships personally, and you can't really expect good musical things when there's not a personal chemistry.
Yeah, because I know when QR3 came out, when I heard The Wild and the Young, man,
yeah,
I was pumped.
But you know something? The album itself, QR3, is a drastic difference from what should have come out, considering that we had written so many more songs were more guitar-based, and we ended up being a very keyboard-based album. Very strange.
clothes on a hot summer night. Clothes are dripping wet, babe. It feels so nice. Teach me, darling. Teach me something new. Oh.
He goes, love the interview. Congratulations. Great show. And nice. I took that as a guy that, you know, I guess I would say maybe mentored me a little bit and, you know, kind of gave me the inspiration to do what we're doing now.
Thanks, Michael. You're welcome.
And I took that as a major compliment from Mark. And Mark, again, thank you for everything that you helped us with in the beginning. And then we did he asked us to come on their show. And then we actually, in turn, put that as one of our podcasts early on, too. I tell you what, let's play some Quiet Riot. That last record they did, we'll do a little DC. It was kind of a bluesy record for them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what a great record. And it's so sad that Kevin passed away, because I think they were moving on to do better, bigger and better things.
Yeah.
And now there's that new movie that Frankie Benali has been, it's a documentary on Quiet Riot that's been getting some very good reviews. So
nice.
We might try to bring Frankie on. We did an email interview with him, and he was nice enough for our 100th episode to send us a little call. He made a little call and wished us well. So
that was cool. That was, we haven't had many of the email interviews, so that was one of the more unusual things. But it was cool to be able to communicate with those guys. It's nice that they make time, even if it's not always that they're able to talk to us. And in fact, there's some people we're trying to line up now for shows that sometimes it's hard going back and forth, going, well, I'm in Prague right now, and I don't know, the time is off, and I'm going to be on a train to Germany next week. And so it's some stuff takes a while to set up because of this coordinating the schedules. But it is nice that they do try to make time for us, even though, you know, we're nobodies. But, and even after 9 years, we're still nobodies. And I'm okay with it, just because it's still fun talking, of course, with you about metal, but also fun talking to the people that make the metal.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
And even more so, again, to kind of give you behind the scenes, you know, we do reviews on the site, and we do that because we are considered press, and so we get access to...
Thank you very much.
Very well.
Ooh, this
Cheers.
Looks good. Yeah, definitely. A little of the Black Maria.
Let's play some Quiet Riot, and then we're going to talk about the beers we've had so far.
Let's do that.
to finish up that last thought real quick is we get to review music on the site because we have access to the albums before they come out and we can listen to them. And through that, I say that because through that, I've heard so many new bands. Because in the beginning, I think we weren't so much about newer stuff as we were about our the people that we were really into, our idols and all that.
Right.
But now, having listened to more new music, I wasn't so much a new music guy. You were more the new music guy. She turned me on to In Flames and all these bands that I'd never heard of. I was still listening to Iron Maiden and Malmsteen and stuff. And now, it's fun. I enjoy finding out about new bands.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to be Iron Maiden for me to say, this is my favorite new fucking album.
Right,
you know, it doesn't always have to be the old shit. And I've found so many new Steven Seagulls. I never would have known anything about them if it weren't for the site. And finding out, and then I managed to go see on Polestar that they were coming to town. I got to go catch them, and they were fucking phenomenal, dude. That was a great fucking show.
I wish you would have told me sooner. Dude, you could have met those fuckers.
It would have been awesome. Yeah. Dude, during the show twice, some guy kept offering him Finlandia vodka because they're from Finland.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept bringing shots up. He's like, dude. And he'd like reach over the crowd and hand it to him. And the lead guy was just like, oh, shit. Like, we're going to get so fucking drunk. You can see the look on his face like, because I'm not going to say no. You know, so they're just drinking and just playing away.
Want to play some?
Fuck yeah.
Let's do it. Awesome.
Reverend, Reverend, is this some conspiracy? Crucified for no sins, an image beneath me. What's within our plans for life? It all seems so unreal. I'm a man cut in half in this world, left in my misery.
Anyway, like I said, I just wanted to make the statement that I really love that we get to learn about new music because of the side of the podcast that we do, and I'm totally grateful for that because I've found some really great bands.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, let's get into the beer, and then I have a thought after that. I started off with a Bavik Pilsner.
Yeah,
which
that shit was delicious, too.
I think it's Russian, but, we're handicapped, so... But very fucking smooth. And
it's always a good way to start, right?
Yes.
You want to start with the lighter beers and move on to darker. And the lighter ones, a Pilsner is a classic, especially in America,
right?
Classic beer to start with. It's great for pairing with food. It goes with almost anything, especially on a hot day. So that one was delicious, I have to say.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked it. And then you had that blonde, and that blonde was fucking it.
Yeah,
amazing.
The Quermont, I think it is, which is a Belgian blonde ale, and that thing was fucking delicious, man.
I wish on the menu here at the merchant that they had kind of where some of this stuff came from, but...
Yeah, I'm looking it up now on my little iPhone here while we're doing this. It is Belgian. It's considered one of the best Belgian pilsners.
Wow, I agree. That thing was
fucking
awesome.
That thing was delicious.
I didn't even see where that is on the menu.
Yeah, now near the top.
Oh, it is.
But now we're going on. We moved on at your suggestion. We tried a black IPA, and I'm a big fan of the black IPA. Stone makes a really good one that we've had. This one is the Too Old. I'm not sure how to say that.
I think it's a Norwegian beer, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, it looks like oldie, that kind of thing, with a little funny O, with a circle through it like it's a zero. Black Maria, and it's a black IPA, 8.1%.
Awesome. Oh, and dude, I mean, not your classic black IPA, very nutty,
Yeah. Comes in a nice little
nutty,
snifter glass.
Roasty. And our server guy, he kind of hit the nail on the head. It's almost like a black IPA mixed with a porter. Yeah. I mean, it's that fucking
the
good.
Because
it's kind of
nice.
Sweet.
Love the nuttiness. Kind of a soapy lacing.
Look at the lacing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It's delicious. Beautiful smell.
Probably our beer of the show so far, or this show at least.
Yeah, it could be, man. We've had a lot of great beers. We don't want to go too much into them and do like our favorite beers or anything, but that's another nice thing about the show, that because of the show, I discovered a lot of new beer because we were on the hunt for it, right?
Right. Holy shit, that's some wings there, man.
Is that out of the way there? All right.
Thanks.
Fucking hey, dude. So I guess we'll have to figure out which one is which. I guess that's general so because of the sesame seeds.
Well, I do want to just say again, and I was going to ask you this question, and we don't want to be too sentimental and cheesy here, but it sounds like to me, as far as you're concerned, probably the most rewarding thing of doing this show has been finding new artists. And
new everything. New beer, new artists. That's what I was saying, is because of the show, we were kind of on the hunt for beers, right? Just to make it interesting, so we're not always having the same beer. And so we look for stuff that we normally may not have looked for.
And I'm trying to remember in the very beginning. I think we were still reviewing beers from the very first show. At first, it was pretty much all European type beers. And then as we went on,
The craft beer thing happened while we were doing the show. You know, we started off and it was not very big at all, if it even existed. And because we started, 2006? Mm-hmm. And then we moved on to, doing the classic European. We didn't want to do like MGD or anything,
right.
Miller Lite. So we started trying different stuff in Europe. You, of course, knew more about that than I did, and introduced me to some great beers. Weihenstephaner, the Waldsteiner Dunkel, and all these delicious German
Remember, that's when we discovered the Chimay's and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got into Chimay's for a while, and still favorites of ours. And then the craft thing took off. I don't even remember what our first craft beer was, but that shit was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I just point this out to my bartender. Apparently there's a discrepancy as far as my glassware is supposed to be in.
Oh, okay.
As far as my circuit, a tulip, not a snifter.
Oh, okay.
So I'll give these subscriptions to you.
To kind of make up the difference.
Yeah. Dude, you're awesome,
appreciate it, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Give the best server ever.
We'll have to mention that. We'll have to get his name and mention it on the podcast.
I forget. We were talking about beers, but like you said, the craft beer explosion. We opened up and we said, okay, we're going to try more stuff, and we're just going to see where it takes us. And now, to be honest, I can't remember the last European beer that we featured on the show.
Yeah,
I think it may have been the Castile Winter. God, I love that.
Probably right. Yeah,
it's probably my fucking favorite. I bought so many bottles of that fucking beer. But in the beginning it was like, okay, we're going to do beer with, metal and fuck American craft brews and, and then we've just done a total 180. And then we were talking before we started the show how we hated hoppy beers. And now look at me.
I'm big on the hoppy stuff.
I'm getting more hop. Into more hoppier beers.
And like I was telling our server, my problem with the hoppy beers is that I love the citrusy part of it. Mm-hmm. There's that really delicious flavor. You can taste it. But then when that's done, that's like as you're drinking it. But then when you swallow it, what's left sitting on your tongue, almost like a sock on your tongue, is that hoppiness is the only way I can describe what that is. It's like this weird residue thing that's very kind of spicy, I guess, without an actual flavor. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of sits on your tongue and doesn't go away. Like there's hair on my tongue or something, and I can't get rid of it. And I guess that's why a lot of it gets paired with food. So I guess you don't notice it as much when you put a nice flavorful piece of meat or something in your mouth to go with it. And that's why it's great at barbecues or something, I suppose.
You were so lucky John's not here.
Yeah, because I saw the look on your eyebrows went up when I said that.
Hold on, my phone's ringing. Hello? Yeah, John. Yeah, we're going to be at the IHOP. Yeah. I know you've been there an hour. Well, we're on our way. All right. Music? There's no music in the back. That's in the car stereo. Yeah?
Dude, turn left here.
You hear Genghis? Yeah, we're together. We'll see you soon. Bye. Okay. So,
Nice work.
I'm sure a lot of people have asked, where the fuck's John? Well, you know, as much as he has been a big part of our show for the last 9 years, we thought it'd be a little bit better if it's just
been
Genghis
a big part
and I
of pain in my ass for the last 9 years.
Oh yeah, too. And you just said a lot of things right now that would have got you in a lot of trouble with John. So
that's the thing. I think there's that psychic link. He knew someone was saying something questionable, and he's like, "I better call these dudes."
They're pretty good.
Yeah, we're having the wings here at the Hay Merchants. They also have food. They have some pretty delicious gourmet type shit.
God, those are good. The General Tso's
like,
good.
Like a gastro pub. So that's what's nice about the combination. Yeah. Perfect for our pairing here with this black IPA. Sorry to talk with my mouth full.
But you know, going back to, the music part of it. What a blessing this show has been for us in that, you know, we've told you guys a million times and we're not like other people that say, oh, this is free because you want it free, but you need to support my advertisers to keep it free, which is such a crock of shit. Genghis and I mean, it's to run this podcast, it probably cost us maybe $50 a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
and not
maybe
to,
a little
not
bit more.
Not to bag on professionals or anything, but yes, there's certainly a difference. You certainly, now to be fair,
we don't have the most awesome sound quality. We never have. We've always been bad about that. Maybe it's all the years of listening to heavy metal that's fucked up our ears. But the point is, we've never tried to. We never thought, let's do this and hopefully we'll make money. We certainly wouldn't have been upset by that. But that wasn't the goal of doing it.
Right.
And so we've just done it because we figured, like, we always do this anyway without a recorder near us. So let's just put one near us and let other people listen to it. And I've always been appreciative of the, what, three people total that ever actually write back to us. And Snake, for one. God, I'm sorry, guys, if I can't remember your names.
Eric.
Bad with names. Eric, yeah. And
Cat Daddy.
Certainly Cat Daddy and Lee.
Stu.
And Stu.
Australia. We got our boy in
Australia. Australian correspondent, yes, yeah, Stu.
Yeah. He actually even did a review of one of the metal cruises for us.
Yep, and that was very cool of him. So, so it is nice. The people that have responded have always responded very, they're glowing in their reports, and I can't say enough about how thankful we are for that.
What a compliment it is for us to say, I love listening to your show because it's like we're all, I'm hanging with you guys.
Yeah.
I just don't have the beer and the food.
It's a common statement that people make, that I feel like I'm just hanging out with friends and I'm like the third guy in the room with the stuff. And that's nice. That really feels good because that's how it feels for us. We're just sitting here bullshitting,
ooh,
doing our goofy shit.
Not a big fan of those.
The guan chu is probably what that is.
It's probably a lot of, it tastes like a lot of red curry or something.
Yeah, probably so.
I'm not a big curry guy. Are you?
No, really.
Wifey
but I mean,
is.
But
she loves
that's
curry.
Not bad. But it's, I can see how you're actually mad
two.
At you later.
Those two are good.
But in any case, like I said, we'll wrap that part up and just say that doing the show has really opened us to a lot of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not just people, not just music, but beer and other things as well. So,
and I think we've been through this before, but one of the best things about the show, too, for me, was I got a really good friend out of it, Tracy G.
Tracy's a man.
We couldn't have done a lot of the stuff we've done without that guy, because he has been so gracious, and I probably told the story before, but I reached out to Tracy because I was such a fan of World War III,
mm-hmm.
as well as his Dio stuff. And I called him. Sorry, I'm sniffing. I know somebody got pissed off years ago about that, but we're eating wings, bud. So, but I'd never forget this, is Tracy called me back after we hung up and the interview was done.
Uh-huh.
And he said, hey, Ragman. I said, yo. He said, was this going to post, blah, blah, blah. He was just asking me some other questions about it. And then I got the balls to ask him, hey, you're a cool guy. I'm a cool guy. We're cool guys,
we're a couple
right?
of cool guys, right?
We'll shoot potatoes such because his ass is playing.
Right. Get together, paint each other up.
But I said, hey, I don't want to be out of bounds here, but, you know, would you ever consider, you know, giving us a little bit of theme music? He said, sure, what do you want?
I was like, dude, right off the bat.
Okay. I said, I want something World War III-ish, kind of slow, melodic, heavy. And then he gave us the theme that turned out to be the Broken Man song on the Goated album.
Mm-hmm.
Because he liked the riff that he created for us so well. He said, he even called me, he said, Ragman, hey, is it okay? I want to develop this into a full song. I was like, dude, it's your music. You're not hurting my feelings. You gave us something and no, you know, just for being such a great guy, you're not asking us to pay you or anything like that. You supply it to us because you're that cool. I said, you do with it what you want, dude. It's yours, but we're going to continue to use it as our intro.
And haven't we played the actual song Broken Man on the show?
Yeah,
well, let's play it again. Play a little bit again, yeah, just so they get the idea of what it became.
Okay.
Tracy, no doubt about it, Tracy's the fucking man. Love Tracy to death. He's been so generous with his time and his talent and given stuff to us, the Metal Minute theme. He's given us other interstitial music, the
Classic of the Show.
Beer of the Week, Classic of the Show.
Beer of the Show.
Really great stuff. And so...
written by Ragman and Tracy G.
That's right.
A collaboration.
Collaborative work. So, put that on your resume. I've worked with Tracy G., nationally known recording artist. So anyway, that was another nice thing that came out of it. That's the thing. It seems like, to be honest, the benefits of the podcast have really been all for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's really self-gratification in that I guess we say we don't get paid. We don't get paid. No one pays us a dime. We've been fortunate enough to get into a couple shows. Not a lot of shows, but a couple shows. And then we get the music to review, so that saves some money too. And so in essence, we are kind of getting paid a little bit because we get a few perks. But it's a job, and Genghis and I both have full-time jobs, so we take time out of our personal life or lunch hours to review music and actually provide a service for, I mean, we're not just getting this music and sitting on it and jerking off to it and all that. We're actually doing something for it. So, I mean, work is 50-50 that way. You know what I'm saying? But
that's another thing, too, is part of why we do it is, yeah, some people might think, well, you know, you're doing this for what free shit you can get out of people. I don't know if anyone would say that, but I can tell you honestly, that's not our goal. It's a benefit, but... I really do think that, I'm always anxious, I'm always happy to promote metal.
Yeah.
And all the artists that we play on the show, all the people that we espouse, because I'm happy to tell you, people like, for instance, A Sound of Thunder, one of the bands I learned about, they're from Washington, D.C., they're fucking phenomenal.
Their last record.
I love that. The new one just came out, I reviewed it. And I reviewed that. I wrote the review that day. As soon as I heard the album that morning, I was like, holy fuck. I went and wrote the review that fucking day because it was just so phenomenal. That album kicks the other one's album's ass.
Wow.
It's amazing. And that's what I mean. I never would have known without the show. And I'm all too happy to shout from the rooftops and let everybody know there's another band you need to go fucking check out.
And that's something I agree with you 100%. I wanted to bring that up as well is it's so much fun. And my only real outlet to turn people on to new music was Wifey and Genghis and the Metal Munchkin. And now we have kind of a stage.
A platform, yeah.
Our platform to where we can spread the word. And that's what I love. I mean, like, I don't know if guys have been listening to the last few shows and with some of the interviews we've done. I've been probably tongue in the balls of some of the guys we've been talking to. But, dude, it's genuine. And you can tell when I like a record or I love a record when I'm talking to an artist.
Ah, okay.
Like, I was listening to the Cormac Neeson from The Answer. And that's a band that I discovered because of the show.
I know you're huge about them.
And I basically just told the guy, I fucking love your band, dude. And I bought your whole back catalog based on one fucking record. I don't think I've ever done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I went and bought four or five CDs based on one record and love. I wouldn't say I love every one of them now. I just got one of them that's good, but it's not as great as some of the others. But
what you'd expect, the natural evolution of a band.
But I love the fact that I was able to expose our audience to this band called The Answer. I'll tell you what, let's play something. I know you heard a ton off Raise a Little Hell, their latest record. Let's play something off Revival that's probably my second favorite record from the band. And we'll be back. So, I guess to start wrapping things up, I mean, this has been a great show. We're going to have a big interview for you. We're not going to spoil it by telling you in the show, because honestly, we don't know who the fuck we're going to talk. But, oh, dude, I got to tell you, we got some great interviews coming your way. Yeah. Well, some may be posted by now. So I'm not going to give it up, but we've got some really cool people coming your way. Some guys we've never talked to before, and one guy is in... individually, that to me, I was a huge fan of the band. They've been around since the early 80s, maybe late 70s.
Yeah.
Got to talk to him, and I want to apologize to everybody. I'll just tell you, Mike Monroe, Hanoi Rocks.
Nice.
Mike and I were having such a good conversation and such a fun time talking. It was funny, we're doing the interview, and this is a behind the scenes type. If some of these interviews are timed and they're set up through the record company. So I'm talking to Mike, and the guy comes in on the line. He says, guys, you got to wrap it up. We got 5 minutes. And I said, Mike, dude, I could talk to you all day. He goes, you know, fuck it. We'll talk. We can talk longer. You don't have to cut it off. Wow. I was like, are you sure? He said, yeah, man. So we were having so much fun. I said, Mike, I could talk to you all day about these stories of old and of new. And there was a lot of questions I didn't get to ask. We had a 30-minute window. And usually a 30-minute window, you're pretty good.
Yeah, you're pretty
good.
We're
talking to a guy, but there's other guys that are so fascinating.
Yeah.
And they have so many stories. And we've done that before. We've
talked Eric Martin's like that.
Eric Martin.
He can talk for days, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's always got something fucking cool and interesting to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So And just to finish on the mic thing, then we'll go to Eric real quick. Maybe we'll play some Mr. Big. Let's play some Hanoi Rocks. Up around the bend, maybe?
That'll work.
Let's do that. But again, Mike was awesome, and he said, you know, hey, you know, we'll talk as long as, not really as long as you want, but I'll give you more time. But I was respectful to the record company.
Right, because that means probably somebody else is getting bumped a little, so you don't want to.
Yeah, so I wrapped it up, and I said, man, anytime you want to talk. And the same thing, we talked to Phil Anselmo from Pantera fame and down Super Joint.
Right, and another behind-the-scenes thing is, too, is while that was happening, we had some audio trouble. You know, the mic started freaking out. We were doing it through Skype. And while we had lost Ragman on the call, and I was trying to work around to figure out how to get him back, it was still recording, and I was talking to Phil, and Phil was just, he didn't miss a beat. He just said, you know, hey, dude, he goes, tell you what. You see him, like, you can hear, like, he's thinking. It's like, tell you what, I got a couple more things I got to do today, but after that, tomorrow, I can make some time for you, and we can just pick this up then and finish the interview if you want. So he was totally willing to just say, hey, I don't want to make this cut off short. We'll finish this properly if you want, and I'll make time for you. And that was totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we got Ragman back on. You know, only a couple minutes went by, and kept the recording going, got him back on, and we finished the interview. We wrapped it up. We were all about done anyway, but he was just so cool about it.
Oh, yeah.
He was just like, no big deal, dude. Every time I said, you know, I'm so sorry. I was embarrassed as hell, you know, and I felt so unprofessional, but, you know, I didn't know what was going on. It's just an internet connection thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but he wasn't mad. He wasn't. He was just totally patient as hell. And just said, no problem, brother. He was all cool about it. Like, dude,
he basically said, whenever you want to talk to me, just give me a call.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool when we talk to people like that, and they're cool like that. You find a lot of these guys are like, man, you're just a really cool guy. And I think in part it's because, not to toot our own horn, it's because like you said, some of the people that talk to us say, these guys know what the fuck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing well?
Mm-hmm. We're doing really well. Say, we're doing a podcast.
We've been doing a podcast for like 9 years, and this is our 200th episode, so we wanted to do it live. And so we wanted to mention our badass
waiter
dude, because you are awesome. What's your name?
Tahir.
Tahir. Well, man, Tahir, you've been doing a great job. I'm sorry, my hand's a little dirty, but
yeah, thank
we
you.
Really appreciate you helping us, man.
Yeah, you've been awesome, man.
Knowledgeable about the beer and such. Yeah. So appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate
nice
you, man.
Thanks.
So, back to Mr. Big real quick, and I just want to mention a few guys that have been in our past that have been just so nice, and I've got to mention first guy, J.K. Northrup.
Yeah, J.K.
has been
badass,
so
dude.
Accommodating, so nice. I also want to mention Paul Stortino. Paul Stortino, when we were nothing, was sending us shit after he talked to us, because he knew not only we're a podcast, we're interviewing, but he knew we were fans. Another guy, Dave Hengeling, King Cobra.
Very cool dude.
Dave has been so awesome. And we got to mention Eric Martin, even though he doesn't remember us until we remind him who we are.
But one of our favorite guys to talk to.
Eric has been so accommodating. He and his wife made it to where we were able to meet Mr. Big. And I don't know if anybody realizes this, but I totally spaced out because I was freaked out. We were talking to Eric Martin live. And the whole band came in, and we should have got the rest of the band involved in the interview, but we didn't. And to this day, I still kick myself in the ass for that one.
But like a lot of the other guys that we mentioned just now, Eric Martin is one of those guys. They're just so nice guys.
Yes.
They don't just do an interview and go, I'm here to promote something. You're my vehicle for promoting, so we're both doing our jobs good by this transaction's over. He's the kind of dude that just, he likes people. He likes meeting people. He likes talking to people. And he obviously, it's usually in the context of, well, this is what you're working on now as an artist. And he's totally open about saying, well, here's what happened behind the scenes. This is how we did this. This is why we did that. There's not an artifice with this guy. You're seeing the real Eric Martin. And he's a genuinely fucking wonderful person to just talk to. And he treats you like you're an old friend. And you can't buy that kind of shit.
No.
I mean, I appreciate that. And you can kind of tell when people are kind of doing it as an act. You know, and you know, they're just kind of putting on a personality. And for all I know, he's doing that, and he's just really good at it, and I can't tell. But you genuinely get the feeling that he's genuinely happy to be talking to you and talking about whatever you want to talk about.
And basically, anytime we reach out, he's available. Same thing with Paul Sortino. He's one of those guys.
And J.K. Northup, very open with us. I love the people that are like that. You can't beat that with a stick.
No.
And to do that with people who are fucking nobodies. If we were Rolling Stone, or if we were Eddie Trunk or somebody, then I could see them saying, we'll make time for this guy, because he's a great thing for promoting us. But we can't do much of anything. Our audience is small enough that we probably can't make a dent in anything.
Right.
And yet they still treat us like we're one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't be thankful enough for that.
I think it's, again, and I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, I think it's because we're truly fans. We're not just schlubs, you know, making shit up. And we do our best in interviews that we talk to guys and we say, okay, well, you know, we like your record. If we love the record, we definitely let the artist know.
That simple, yeah.
We have integrity that way.
We tell people about it.
And I tell you what, one of the funniest things that's happened to me since we've been doing this, and there was only one artist I won't bring, well, I guess I can bring them, who fucking cares? I reviewed a record for Nelson.
Uh-huh.
And I sent the review to the PR person, and they basically said, are you out of your fucking mind? Metal Hammer said this was awesome, blah, 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 said this was awesome, blah, 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 Kerrang, all these people said, what's wrong with you? Because I wanted to interview him, too. I was like, that'd be cool to interview him.
So, like, in a way, let me give this straight. In a way, sort of pressuring you to give a better review. Like, why didn't you give a better review?
I didn't change it. I just said, hey, I just told you what I thought.
That's what I mean. Is like they wanted a better review out of you and were kind of giving you shit for not giving them one.
Right. And basically, I asked for an interview and they never followed up with me. So we never got to talk to Nelson because they didn't like my review. But, you know, and that's something I've taken something from Genghis. And Genghis, when we get some of these albums, and this is a little bit behind the scenes, when we get some of these records to review, we actually listen. We can hear sound samples before we download and say we're committing to try to review this and when time permits. And I used to download about anything. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And I just put it away. Whatever, fuck it. But now I listen to sound samples and say, okay, if there's a chance of me reviewing this, I'm going to review it. And there's actually stuff I don't want to review, but if I get asked to review it, I'll review it. And then I wonder if you ever wonder if the PR person's going to come back to you and say, you know, why'd you give a shitty review? I've only had that happen one time in 9 years. But there's some bands, I don't want you guys, just like me or Genghis, to go spend their hard-earned money to go buy something that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you if it sucks, and I'm going to tell you if you like it. I mean, if I liked it. Yeah, I mean, if you like my taste in music, or respect what I have to offer or what Genghis has to offer, we're not going to lead you astray. We're going to tell you if we like it, or if we don't like it, we'll tell you if we don't like it.
And that's the thing, to be fair, I mean, a lot of what I pick, I generally pick stuff that I think I'm going to like. Not necessarily stuff that it's like, I know I like this. Not even that. Just like if I hear a couple of songs and go, this sounds pretty good, let me check this out. And then I download it and I review it. And so there is some stuff that I hear right off the bat and just go, I can't get into this. Because there's some genres that are just, they're not my speed, man.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that when I start listening to sound samples. I see a band, I see an interesting cover, hear an interesting name, and I go, okay, that name sounds kind of cerebral. Like, these guys read a lot of, you know, heavy shit. So maybe I'll be into this because I tend to kind of like more thought-provoking shit. And so I'll listen to it and I go, oh, these are one of those kind of like, I don't know. What do they call it? Not grindcore, but there's that kind of, I think they call it, like, some of it's called, like, noisecore, where basically it's just, we make just a shit ton of noise.
Yeah.
And the drums just go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like somebody literally taking a spoon to a metal pail and going, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just, as soon as I hear that, I go, I'm sorry, I kind of, I'm not,
like,
I don't know
how they get signed.
I can't get into that, yeah. Mm. And I'm not saying they don't deserve to be signed, or they don't deserve to have fans. Whoever likes that, go for it. It's just not my speed. So, of course, I don't review those bands. Because I don't want to have to be in the position of saying, I hate this shit, because I don't know that I'm being completely objective if I say that. By the same token, if I hear something I like the sound of, I'm like, all right, let me check this out. And I try to be honest about the review. If I've got nothing but bad shit to say about it, nothing's completely bad. Mm-hmm. Any, even a bad thing, you could say, well, this is good.
Right.
Like, maybe it totally sucks, but the production was awesome. Then I'll maybe stress that or something, and I don't want to be totally negative, but I don't want to lie either. I'm not going to tell you something that isn't true in my review.
Well, you know, I had one of those scenarios the other day, and I think I'm trying to remember the band's name. They're Outlaws and something. And basically, they're one of those kind of bands like Ron Keel, this Metal Cowboy project. I hate country music, but these guys do kind of what Ron does, where he mixes, like, they mix, like, hard rock.
It's not like pure country.
With, like, 80s style hard rock with, like, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Cool.
The music is great. The vocalist is great. But the lyrics are so bad because they're country. I mean, talking about the pickup truck and all this
bullshit.
Which
sounds weird for a metal song.
Yeah. And, I mean, one of them's called Redneck, whatever. Which makes me cringe when I see that anyway. But the song was well-structured, melodic.
Good musicianship.
I gave them a pretty good review, but I did pan them hard on the lyrics. I said, the lyrics take away. This could have been a 4-star review, but the lyrics are so cheesy and so bad that, you know, it takes away. I think I gave it a 3. I would have given it at least a 3.5, 4.
Brought down
had the
score.
Lyrics been better. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And that's actually, the PR firm thanked me for the review and said it was a great review. They liked my honesty with what I was saying.
That's the thing. You get the feeling, which is why I tend to try to shy away. Like, I'm not going to bother to download and review an album that I just know I'm not going to like. Just because you wonder if the company itself is going to see that and go, oh, you're being biased, or, you know what I mean? You never know how they're going to take it and whether they're going to be, I don't know about honest. That's, I don't want to condemn them. I'm sure everyone's got a job to do, and I'm not slighting that. But by the same token, you know, we've always felt like, well, we got to be honest. We're not going to tell you something that isn't true, because then we're just kind of sacrificing our integrity just for the sake of getting, you know, free music to listen to or something.
Right.
We never wanted to do that. You know, so I appreciate that somebody came back and said, well, we appreciate your honesty. That's a good response, you know. I'm not always going to be able to say everything's rosy. But maybe now that you know that, maybe that's how you should read all reviews. You know, read between the lines. If for an album somebody doesn't really say a whole lot about this is good or that's good, then maybe that's because it's not.
Right.
And they're stressing the part that they can say is good, but the stuff they're not talking about is they're just trying not to say bad shit about that. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing. You can be an honest review without necessarily saying everything you think about.
Right. You try to bring out some of the positives.
Exactly. You don't want to just be a total asshole. Just go, you know what? Fuck these guys. They'll never amount to anything. I mean, that's just shitty to say.
Right.
These people, they're trying to make a living.
Right, right.
And they believe in what they're doing. They're not trying to pull a fast one on the on the public and trick them into liking something that isn't good. They genuinely think they're making a good product. And it's just my opinion, after all, right?
Yeah.
So I don't even feel the need to shit all over people.
As we wrap up here, and this is something I find kind of curious, and it surprises me sometimes. Out of all the bands you listen to, was there a band, and there's been a few that I've reviewed, there's one in my mind right now that I did, you know, most recently. But was there a band of a different kind of genre or style of metal that you ended up kind of liking in a weird way, even though it's kind of out of your realm of what you generally like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a band you can think of right off the top of your head that kind of grabbed you and you weren't expecting to be grabbed? I mean, like I said, not your normal, like a proggy. I know you like some of the stoner metal.
Right.
But something a little more experimental, or this maybe a doom metal group or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might have been something like a doom metal thing. And to be fair, only because it had some elements of stuff I do like,
yeah,
did I probably latch onto it. It's never been a thing where I totally don't like this kind of genre of music and all the aspects of it, but I like this album in spite of it being right. That. It's not like that. It's because it does. It's like it is in that genre, but it does have elements of things I do like. Like maybe it's this weird kind of noisecore kind of stuff, but it has elements of progressive music in it or something, and that kind of brings me in. That's probably the closest I get. And to be honest, I can't think of a band offhand that's like that.
Well, I'm thinking of a band right now that is something I recently reviewed, and I've had a couple of these over the span of the 9 years of the show. The most recent one's a band called Earth, and actually, I looked at the cover, which got me intrigued. It looked like an old Black Sabbath type cover. And I was like, I wonder what these guys are about. And I clicked one of the samples, and it was almost like melodic instrumentals, but doomy, stoner, not really stoner, but more doom metal type stuff that I don't typically get really turned on about. But with Earth, they were melodic enough. They brought in some vocals in a couple tracks. It's kind of a short record. It's like only six songs or something. And let's play something from Earth.
All right.
That was a band that, and that's what I like. I like some of these bands that I'm like not expecting to like. I'm ready to like, oh, fuck, that's, I need to get that off the iPod right away type thing, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll play a little bit of Earth right now, and then we'll wrap up. So anyway, that was some Earth, and I tell you what, I don't think we'll do classics.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sort of a special show. The next show will be have regular stuff.
Yeah, we'll go back. Again, just to warn you guys, we are getting a little interview heavy, so you'll get some double shots here in the upcoming weeks. Just so we can clear out the vault a little bit, the one, I guess, negative thing for us, and we'll talk a little bit about this. You know, a lot of guys have commented, hey, we wish your interviews were posted on a more timely basis.
Yeah, if there is the downside to all of this and the things that we're not so keen or happy about is that we've never been very good about being timely, and for that we apologize, and that we know that's unprofessional, and I would like to be able to promise that'll never happen again, and we certainly will try to do that.
Yeah, don't make promises you can't keep,
that's the
brother.
Thing. Well, no, it's certainly our goal to be as timely as possible.
Yeah, we are.
So we'll try to be better, but I'm not going to promise a 180-degree change, but we recognize it's an issue. We don't want you to think that we don't care. It's just, life gets in the way, and I know that's not an excuse, but that's all we have. So
there's something, too, I would say over the last month, we've started actually dating when these interviews are taking place. and keeping a closer eye on how they're aging and trying to get them out the door a lot quicker than what we've done in the past. So.
Yeah, try to reassess our process. And it's, to be fair, the main thing to take away from all that is simply that there are people that do podcasts and they're very professional and by the numbers and they do a great job with it. And we are not those people.
Well, we have full-time the jobs, reason, families, yeah. whatever.
And maybe other people do too. So that's why I don't know that that's an excuse. But at the same time, I do say that it's never our intent to not put on the best show and not make it the best show we could do. It's just the reason we're in this game in the first place is we're just total fucking music fans. And what we naturally do anyway in our spare time, just as friends, we just record it. We just put a recorder in the room, and that's the only real difference. And so it's not... If it was our intention to do this as a business and to make money and to do a special podcast, we might be better at it. Or maybe we would say, well, we're actually not good at this, and let's stop. But we do it because we're friends and we're fans, and that's why we do it. So we'll certainly try to do our best to improve things. We're always trying to improve everything.
Oh, yeah.
We're always trying to improve the sound. We're always trying to improve the time. We're always trying to improve everything. So, anyway.
And if you listen to the first show, if you can find that archive, then you'll see where we've come.
You'll see that we have improved.
You know what we ought to do for a goof? We should repost the first show.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got it.
Let's do that. I'll definitely do that.
Maybe our next, it'll be a bonus plan. You'll get a bonus. Right. You'll get a new show and you'll get an old show. But
that'd be cool.
Again, we want to thank everybody for your support over the years. We can't thank you enough. Again, we're not making money, so the listenership doesn't matter a whole bunch, but we do like that people listen. It makes us feel good that people are digging what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like I said, we
do this anyway. As long as we're able to, we're going to keep doing this regardless.
Hell yeah.
You might hear us in another 10 years.
Yeah, fuck yeah, baby. So, anyway, thank you, everybody. Happy birthday, Paisan. Number 200. In dog years, what's that? 1,400. So we've done 1,400 episodes in dog years.
Yeah. So,
we've caught up to Eddie Trunk, I think.
So metalhead dogs out there are probably pretty excited. Like, fucking A, dude.
But, guys, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And we want to give you two big holds up.
You've been listening to Geese and Ragman Show. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to check out the artists you hear on the show wherever you can find them on your favorite online outlet or through iTunes, whatever you want. And by the way, while you're at iTunes, be sure to leave us a review and spread the word about the Geese and Ragman Show over at therighttorock.com, where you can find CD, DVD, and Blu-ray reviews, as well as occasional concert review, a piece of music news about your favorite bands in the heavy metal genre. And be sure especially to check out the website of our official third man here, Tracy G, who writes all our original music, including the Broken Man theme song that opens up the show. That's for you, brother. Well, that's it, and there it is. Until next time, this is your announcer, Joey Clams, telling you to drink good beer and keep those horns up.